Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Lord, I just pray that you'd be here this morning, Lord, that you'd be with us this morning, Lord, and Father, that your blessing would be upon each one of us, Lord. Lord, we pray for Keith at the moment, Lord, and ask that you'd strengthen him, Lord God, and bless him, Lord God. Give him freedom inside, Lord God, that you'd just move in his life, Lord God, and give him strength. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us all to understand the word that I'm about to give, Lord God, and that you'd bless it to our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, so basically what I want to speak about today is Jesus came to bring life, right? So since the time I started going to church, I've noticed that there is always a struggle, right, and no real clear consensus on the way in which, as Christians, we're supposed to uphold godly values. You know, sure, we know that righteousness comes through faith in Jesus, but some put a higher emphasis on righteous actions than others, right? And in the same way, some look at grace through different eyes than others. Even if as a church we don't, as individuals we do. So where do we draw the line, and how we correct those who cross that line is often something we struggle with. So on one hand, there's the school or the way of thinking that puts a high importance on the teaching of righteous actions. And let's face it, righteous actions are good, and godly values protect us. I remember when I first became a Christian at the age of 23 and I started going to church, I needed teaching on righteousness. I needed teaching on godly values. I thank God that I had somebody who was able to teach me those things, so I knew what changes I had to make in my life. And often in Sunday school, we that teaching happens to the kid. Vaughan, in bigger church, so to speak, or as we get older, often there's not a lot of that righteous, godly value teaching within the church. And I needed that, and I had that, and it helped me to set things in my life that I still live by today. And so, in the same way, I think that that we really need that in the church. We need to be reminded of it. As humans, we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to get off track and to possibly get into trouble if we're not getting teaching on godly values. So the preaching of righteousness, and when I say righteousness, I know righteousness is by faith, but the preaching of godly values is necessary. Righteous preaching helps us to set boundaries in our lives. It helps us to transform our thinking to align with the Word of God. The knowledge of godly principles protects us from making uninformed decisions, right? However, in saying that, what I've experienced and noticed is that the hard preaching of righteousness, the strict teaching, or even the angry teaching of godly values, although admirable, can form a system of law. And the problem is that these are often laws that are then policed through have-tos and even fears and anger. People can be made to feel like they have to strive to conform. And we start to think we need to uphold godly values with the sword. And so what effect can it have when we start to uphold godly values in this way? And what I've experienced is that there can be a sense of condemnation associated with this type of approach. where those who are able to conform almost start to think more highly, that they're more highly placed than those who can't conform. Where if a person is just a little left of field, they are frowned upon. When we try and control others who fail to meet certain standards, where we try and make others do as we think they should, or where we put up walls between ourselves and the world, and even walls between ourselves and the people we should be loving, walls of disapproval. You know, if you've ever experienced a system of law, you may have felt an attitude within yourself that you're only blessed according to your actions, right? Where if, you know, you haven't been pressing into God lately, if you've been going through some tough time, you feel distant from God. And you think, oh, my prayers won't work. I must be doing something wrong. There must be something going on that I'm not seeing. And that's what a system of law can produce within us, okay? So we need the preaching of godly values. We need the reminding of godly values. We need the example of godly values. But in which way should these values be taught? And in which way should we uphold these values in our churches and in our homes and in the world? Okay, and then on the other hand, possibly as a result of this system of law, possibly as a result of years of this sort of system of hard, righteous preaching, there's like a system that focuses more on grace and that has sort of continued to do so over maybe the last, you know, 20 years or so. And once again, we vitally need to understand the importance of grace. I mean, grace is everything, right? Everything we have in Jesus is about God's grace. I love God's grace. And what a great thing. God's grace gives us freedom. You know, it makes us know that we're loved no matter what. We don't have to earn God's love. And that is, it's such an important message that we need. And it's something that I have to turn to regularly. I mean, quite often I'm unable to really give God the amount of time he deserves, the amount of time I'd like to. And as a result, I feel separate from God at times. But if I remind myself of God's grace, if I remind myself that he's there no matter what, I don't have to earn it, then all of a sudden I feel close to God again. You know, when we lay hands on one another, when we pray for one another, it's not God's going to work through us and bless that person. It's just grace. It's all God's grace. It's nothing else but God's grace that gives us the strength to move in God, the Spirit of God, and to move in the things of God. You know, grace helps us to properly understand forgiveness. Furthermore, God's grace removes the walls that we often place between ourselves and others and helps us to live and move more freely in the world. But in what way does the system of grace, or the system that focuses more heavily on grace, what way do they uphold godly values? And what I think can often happen is that they just simply don't preach on them so much. And the truth is that sometimes people can get into trouble as a result of there being no teaching on godly values. No matter what we read in our own time or in the Word, we often filter it through attitudes we see amongst our peers, amongst our leaders, amongst the people we go to church with, right? And so if there's no teaching of godly morals, we can often place a lesser importance upon them. And as a result of this, you might notice such things as the ways of the world creeping into that type of church. You know, you might notice things like a church that is heavily focused on the numbers in the church.
Yeah.
You know, they focus on systems designed on drawing more finances out of its members. KPIs, key performance indicators. You know, even VIP sections or pretty girls handing out stuff. I've seen it. I've been to churches that do that. And so worldly systems seem to be one of the things that make their way into a church or into our lives when there's a lesser importance based on the teaching of godly values. The sword can cause a system of law and can cause us to become nosy and judgmental. But no teaching at all can cause us to lose our way. So what was God's intention through Jesus in the way that we're to uphold godly values? And so my third point is basically the connection between love and godly values, right? The connection between love and godly values. Sorry if it seems like I'm reading this a bit this morning. I just... Anyway. And I want to start by saying this. Love will help you understand the importance of godly values. No matter what school of thought you adhere to. No matter what, if you're strong in the thing of grace and you're, or if you're strong in the things of preaching godly morals, love will direct you best through that. You know, you often hear it said that all you have to do to please God is love one another. You know, I had an uncle who, a really good guy I was very close to, who he said to me once, he said, look, all you have to do to do the right thing is to love one another. And I think he was partly right. He was partly right. When we read the way Jesus spoke about love, it's clear that he broke it into two parts. And as often it is with the Word of God, those little parts are important. We need to pick up on all those parts. And so if we just turn to Matthew 22:35, I'm just going to read from there quickly. So it says there, reading from the Amplified, it says, one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. The whole law and the writings of the prophets depend upon these two commandments. And so this so-called expert, someone who thought he knew how things worked, you know, a so-called expert, thought that he would come up to Jesus and try and outsmart Jesus with this question. Right? And Jesus being able to see through this and being able to see that there was no love in this guy's heart, basically said, all the commandments are all as important as each other. All you have to do to fulfill them is walk in love. Almost like he said, you're coming at me with the sword, buddy, but where's your love? That's what you're lacking. You're coming at me with this question of law, with this, but all you need, what you need, you're missing. What you need is love. And, you know, sometimes we know how it works. We can try and cause legal arguments with others, and we can try and compete with others, right? We can forget the grace of God and wield the sword of righteousness amongst others. We can be administrators of the law when really all we need to do is love. That's what we need to do. Love will guide us. Love will direct you. And so Jesus said that through love, we fulfill the law. That's a pretty significant statement. So through love, through the power of love, through the power that God has given us to love, we will fulfill the law. And you know, it's, you know, because we love God, we're not going to worship idols, right? We won't use his name incorrectly. We won't blaspheme, even though everybody else around us does. Love won't allow us to do that because we love God. We won't do that, right? Our unconditional honour of our parents, you know, we'll honour our parents. And I realise that, you know, some of us, that's harder for some of us than others. Some people have all sorts of situations in their families and that. But it's a bit like the submit to your authorities thing. It's like love them no matter what. Because it's a direct representation of our love towards God. Our unconditional love for our parents is an unconditional representation of our love for God. And that's why God wants us to do that. That's why we should honour our parents. See, the love of God will bring loyalty and honour towards his values, towards his leadership and towards his word. Love will bring a strong relationship with God, a want to please him, a desire to please him. And it will be a real desire because it'll be out of the right reasons. It won't be because out of fear or anything else. But true love of God will cause you to want to please God. In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." See, because of our love for Jesus, we obey his word, not because of the law, not because we're scared, not because we have to, not because we're going to get into trouble if we don't, because of love, because we love Jesus, right? And that's why that the love of God is the most important. The love of God will then empower us to love others with God's love. And so that's why the first of those commandments is so important, because it gives us because we can love others, but by loving God first, it gives us his ability in our hearts to love, and it gives us a loyalty and a working around him. As we do it, it gives us we still honour him. We still honour the way he does things. We honour his word. If we love others, we won't steal from them. We won't lie to them. We won't covet from them. Not because of the law, but because of love, right? When we receive a spirit of Jesus, when we received the spirit of Jesus, we receive a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. And the three work perfectly together, love, power, and soundness of mind. You know, true love of God, true loyalty to God, true caring for people in our lives. It's a wisdom. There's a wisdom that comes through that. When we walk with God, God speaks through us. It's not a blind thing, right? The love of God will make us wise. We will know. We won't do silly things. We won't get ourselves into situations. Sometimes we can think, you know, we need to eliminate that from our presence. That person who's got that bad thing that they do, they need to be eliminated. Get rid of them out of this place, because they're going to be contagious to all of us here. And so we push them out the door. But then we haven't loved that person. They're different. They got something different about them. But due to fear, we've pushed them out, and they feel hated by the church because they're different. See, love will give us wisdom. Wisdom comes with love. Love that person. Love them and accept them. And in time, through love, we can teach them. Okay, we don't want to push people away in the name of righteousness, in the name of upholding godly values. We're not administrators of the law. And so if you want to uphold godly standards, the best way is through love. Because in doing so, you won't produce a system of law. Law is based on fear. If you do it, you know, if you do that, you're going to go to jail. If you look at that girl, you're going to go to hell. If you, you know, it's this system that just produces fear and just produces bad things within us. You know, but whereas if we say, look, mate, you know, look, buddy, don't cheat on your wife, man. Like, it's not good for you to do that. Look, just go home and just love her and make it work, and we'll help you through it. And your life's going to be better if you just try and make it work. You want to try and make that work with your wife. And so we're preaching righteousness through love. Okay, it's better not to steal. You know, don't steal from that person because, you know, look, you're going to upset that person. You know, how would you like it if you got stolen from? And so it's more of a, once again, a teaching of the word of God through love, not through fear, not through hatred. There's no place for the sword in a Christian's life. We don't need the sword. God told us to love. That's what we do. And through love, we uphold God's law. And through love, we don't forsake God's law either. Because when we love God, we want to please him. So if we're in the church of grace, if we're living in the things of grace, and that's our main sort of focus, and grace is great once, like I said, we need it, then if you love God, you're still going to obey his commandments. You're still going to teach his commandments, and you're still going to honor his word and the way he wants things done. The way that we protect ourselves from getting caught into trouble, because sin will get you into trouble. And so that's why Jesus said, love God, love others. Do it properly and that will guide you. That will direct you in everything. And if they don't want to listen, just continue to love them. Because they don't want to listen, is that now an excuse to then pull the sword out, to cut them away, stick up a wall between you and them? Just got to keep loving them. Keep being there for them. That's our job. And in time, you're going to be able to work with that. You're going to be able to show them the love of God. They're going to see that God's love is unconditional. It's not based on what they do. It's an unconditional love. And that's the love we need to show others. Rather than give death, we give life. Righteousness brings laws. Love brings godly values. Love upholds God's standards without bringing condemnation. The love of God first, followed by the love of others. So number four, Jesus came to bring life. So John 3:16, right? Says here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. Now, by understanding this scripture, we see the reason why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring life. Good news. Jesus came to bring good news. He came to bring life to a dying world, hope for the hopeless, freedom for the bound, to help those who needed help. He came as a gift, not a burden. He came to be chosen, not forced. You know, Jesus never forced himself upon anybody. Jesus never came to be a law, only to set up a system of love. That's why he came. It used to be a system of law, but he came to bring a system of love, because love satisfies the law. The love of God when God gave us laws to follow, it was because they're better for us to do so. They weren't because he wanted to play games with us. They're just ways of better living. That's what God's laws are. And love satisfies those things. In the Old Testament, people were unable to love. That's why they had to be set these laws, because they weren't able to love. They didn't have God's love in their heart. They were unable to fulfill these things. But now we do have God's love in our heart. We're able to fulfill the law. We're able to not steal, to not cheat, to not lie. We're able to do these things through love. We're able to teach through love. We're able to be an example of love. There's never a reason to bring death. You know, I suppose if God is so happy when we win a soul, right? How happy is God when we win somebody? We were all so excited. Yet how do you think God feels when we push somebody away? When we say to somebody, no, you're not good enough to be part of the church. You're too dirty. That what you do is, we don't accept that in here, you know. So go away from here. Do you think he likes that? Do you think that pleases him? Love will help us will make us wise. We won't follow in his ways. Don't need to be scared anymore, church. Don't need to be scared. Just love. Love God. Love others, and you won't go wrong. So in conclusion, so people in your life, just love them. Help them. Be there for them. And through that opportunity, you'll come to share your faith. Family members, friends in your lives, just love them. Just love them. Just go to work, just love them. Okay? Love will cause you not to overlook godly values in your own life. And when it's necessary for you to teach them to others, love will show you how to do that. And love will help you to correctly teach godly morale without bringing in a system of law. Okay, Lord, Father, I just thank you for today, Lord. Father, I just pray that you'd move in our lives this week, Lord God. You'd be with each one of us, Father. Lord, I just pray that you'd move by your Spirit, Lord God, and you'd strengthen us as a church, Lord God. Lord, that you would set your will into our hearts, that you'd use this church, that you'd help there be a building here, Lord God, a buildings of the things of God. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our pastors, Lord God, and strengthen them, Lord God, that your plan and purpose would come through in this church, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Tom. Awesome. So basic, but so true. Love God, love others. I don't know about you, but I've been around quite a while in church, and a lot of you have too. And you've probably seen all sorts of stuff go on in church, and people get hurt and all sorts of things. And it's really good to be reminded, just to go back to the basic. Love God, love others. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son for us. And so, like Tom said, encourage you this week to go out and love. Think about the people that you actually struggle with and ask God to give you a key to actually love on them. You know, I only have to, this week at work, I walked down the hallway, I saw somebody I haven't seen for a while, I asked them one question, they started crying, took them into their office, I spoke to them for about half an hour. It happens to me all the time. Keith goes, that happens to you all the time. It does, because we all carry the gift of love. And God will bring us opportunities all the time. You just got to be open and ready. That's it. That's how simple it is. So thanks, Tom, for that. We've had the altar open this morning. If the prayers want to come, if people need prayer this morning, we'd love to pray for you. Otherwise, have a great week and enjoy some fellowship before you go today. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.